subcommittee meeting for January 10th, 2017, 6:30 p.m. Prior to the meeting, I'd like to give you notification of our Open Meetings Act, a copy of the Open Meetings Act, revised statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action, and we ask that the public not interrupt the directors' discussion and action. Thank you. Affidavit of the posting of tonight's meeting, which will be made permanent part of the minutes. Form call.
John Connolly.
Here.
Fowler.
Here.
Benny.
Here.
Here. Item number four, adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Fowler?
Yes.
Nagy?
Yes.
Connolly?
Aye.
Yes.
I've already talked about proof of publication of tonight's meeting, so we've already gotten that done. Item number six, review and recommendation on a PMRNRD affirmative action policy for 2017. Gene Tate and Kelly, I would say your last name.
Lawrence.
Lawrence, okay. From Barrett Home.
Good evening. Kelly and Heath and I are here tonight to present for your consideration amendments to the Papio-Missouri River NRD Affirmative Action Policy for 2017. At the January 14, 2016 Board of Directors meeting, the Papio-Missouri River Affirmative Action Policy for 2016 was approved. The policy was prepared by Barrett Home. Changes to the 2017 Affirmative Action Policy are primarily housekeeping in nature. The following actions have taken place during the 2016 calendar year regarding the implementation of the PAPIO-NRD Affirmative Action Policy and to meet the requirements set forth by the Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs, which includes the subcontractor and suppliers mailing, notifying contractors and subcontractors of their responsibilities to comply with federal regulations that prohibit discrimination, have applicable EEO posters posted in district break rooms. Kelly came in and provided in-house training to district supervisors and managers on affirmative action obligations. We filed the VETS 4214 Federal Contractor Veterans Employment Report. We've included the pay transparency statement last month in the district's employee handbook. And the district advertises vacant positions at Nebraska Workforce, Nebraska Vocational Rehabilitation Office, and in the local paper of the serving community where the position is being filled to ensure our affirmative action policy obligations are met. There was only one retirement for 2016. Penny Birch retired from her position in September of 2016. Tracy Thompson was hired as the district secretary HR assistant on December 19, 2016. The staff recommendation is that the subcommittee recommends to the Board of Directors that the amendments to the Papio-Missouri River NRD Affirmative Action Policy for 2017 be adopted and incorporated into the district's policy manual. And Kelly and I will take any questions that you might have.
Can we have a motion, please?
I move approval of staff recommendation.
I'll second.
Anyone in the public wishes to speak to this item? Directors? Roll call.
Ready?
Yes.
Fred
Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Ben Fowler?
Yes.
That concludes my...
Thank you.
Wait, no, that was
good. Marlon. Thank you. Can you send it for Paul? Can you send it for Paul and with Mike? Can you send it for Paul and Mike on that video?
I'm going to call the Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee meeting to order. You heard the information about the Open Meetings Act being posted and the announcement of meeting procedures, and they will apply to this subcommittee also. With that, quorum call, please.
Here.
Lee?
Here.
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 Here. Adoption of the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Mayhew?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Conley?
Yes. I have here an affidavit of publication of the notice of tonight's meeting that will become part of the permanent records. Now moving on to item six is a review and recommendation to approve the Lower Platte River Vegetation Management Account 0405193-4479 being over 110% of budget. Marlon, are you going to take that one?
Yes, and we have Mike Reed here with Oaks County. Authority, and he's going to give most of our presentation here. The Paul Woodward has a memorandum that you should have before you that was posted and about this item, and maybe I'll just. Paul is, by the way, at a groundwater conference, not in San Diego. At, I think that's
in Texas.
Houston. Yeah. And so, in any event, that's why he isn't here tonight. He will be here Thursday if we've got any particular questions he may need to answer. But maybe might just have Mike kind of present what items we have here. A couple items that actually are going to be expended and reimbursed, but it does go beyond, it has to be an in and out, it has to go beyond our budgeted amount, and so that requires approval by the board.
Thank you, and good evening, board members.
Good evening.
Douglas County Weed Control, I'm the superintendent for Douglas County Weed Control. And Douglas County is a member of the Lower Platte Weed Management Areas, just as Papio, Missouri NRD is a member of the 10-county weed management area, along with Lower Platte South and Lower Platte North NRDs. As part of my duties as project coordinator for the Lower Platte Weed Management Area, I submitted a grant to the Nebraska Department of Agriculture. There was $1 million that was available for projects, for weed control-related projects. Across the whole state this year, those projects were made available in October, so that was really pretty much around the time of frost, so any dollars towards any spring would have to be done from October through June, through the fiscal year, so that doesn't leave a lot of time window for some of the fall weeds that we're working on annually in the river, which would be your grass species, Phragmites, and some of the other targeted sandbar management controls that we had been doing. So I looked at what could the weed management area and the counties and entities that are involved in the project use between now and in June. And so I'd outlined one area. One of the priorities is targeting a brush species called indigo bush. It's a native brush species to the lower 48 states in the United States. And this particular plant has taken over the back channel from Highway 64, which would be Luke Jenke's property, Ginger Woods Reserve and Ginger Woods Homeowners Association. Roughly, I estimated it to be about 70 acres of tall brush. There was so much brush in this back channel that it couldn't see the noxious weeds. So we're looking at purple loosestrife is 4 foot tall. Phragmites is 12 feet tall. And the indigo bush is every bit of 12 to 15 foot tall. As part of the operations for Lower Platte Weed Management, we took a helicopter survey in July of last year. I've been looking for noxious weeds. It's my job. And I couldn't find really half of the Phragmites plants, half of that grass, because it was underneath the understory of the indigo bush. So in the interest of effective weed control and effective dollars used by everybody in the project, NRDs included, the three NRDs are funding the ongoing management, is in the best interest of everyone involved to get rid of that understory or that that indigo bush to make best use of our dollars every year ongoing. And so we're we'll have better control of the FRAG monies going forward. So one of the items in that grant is roughly, I had budgeted over $40,000. The bid awarded and came in at $25,000. I will adjust my grant categories for this grant, so it'll be roughly around $33,000 devoted towards the Indigo Bush, and the remaining money will be dedicated towards survey. survey done in the Lower Platte Weed Management Area, along with the purchase of an aquatic vehicle for us to use. I'll entertain any questions you guys have on the memorandum or anything about the project.
The chair to entertain a motion to get this thing on the table.
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second by Director Fred Conley. Anyone in the public wish to speak to this item? Seeing none, now we'll open up to directors. Director Fowler.
When you spray for the indigo, because of the hamlet problem, when you spray, does that spray take care of all those, the phragmites and whatever else is below, or is it because the hamlet's going to catch? We're just trying to get rid of the hamlet top first and then come back another time and do another run and finally get down to the lower level where the phragmites habitat is, seems to be.
The contractor recommended that the whole plant would be cut off from the base, and then he'll go in with a backpack sprayer and treat the stumps.
It'll
I see. That's the indigo bush there.
Oh, it's a little bit of evaporation.
I got
mechanical removal and then spraying the stumps.
Okay, that wasn't clear to me. Okay, thank you.
Would you clarify what's the diameter of this thing you're going to cut?
It's roughly, it'd be everything that probably a good quality bush hog could handle. So I'd reckon it probably is 4 or 5 inches.
Yeah. Okay.
It's been growing there for probably 8 years or so.
Yeah. And what's the history? Where did it come from?
It's indigenous to the lower 48 United States, and actually it's all up and down the Lower Platte River. It's really not a problem, but in the shallow, this particular stretch of the river is really shallow, high sandbars, and so it's doesn't have any competition, and it doesn't have any water, you know, enough water, stream flow to keep it clean and clear. So,
thank you. Any other questions or comments? Director for teacher.
This area consumes about one-third of the natural area of the river. It is now being infiltrated with phragmites and indigo bush, and it's on a very high sandbar. This is above Sokol Camp, where I live, and we've lost basically a whole third of our river to vegetation, and this becomes a real crisis during times of ice out, and during the summer, this phragmites is just going crazy. I think Mike even pointed out the bush.
Yeah, if I could, I was really unfamiliar with this plant up until just a few years ago. Like I think you mentioned here, what our typical process with phragmites is to go through here with a helicopter and you can see the phragmites. Here's the story, but it was taken recently. All this paint color is all the heads on the phragmites. Typical process in August is to go through here with a helicopter sprayer. What we found is this indigo bush. So we can't effectively go in here and take out the target species, right? Minus channel, get ready to channel back. You can see all the indigo bush, all this dark ground, it's taking over all of this accretion ground as far as you can see.
I remember flying over this area in past years with ice jam issues, and this channel used to be pretty open.
Yeah.
And it's just choked down to this little narrow channel now. I mean, so we're talking 500 feet wide down to, you know, almost nothing. It's so it's really, really choking this area of the river.
So did I see another hand down here? Director Thompson.
So you just leave that left. Sit and rot, assume, you know, pay anyway. And then the all-terrain vehicle, is that?
Yeah, towards that? That's also a part of this.
We're going to carry it in our books, so to speak? Or where it would be housed?
No, it'll be housed in Fremont, and it's the weed management
group's equipment. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah.
So we're just buying it.
Yeah, it's just
doing it. Okay.
It's just a pass through.
Okay.
Because we administer the funds.
It'll be funded by grant dollars, 100% grant dollars, but it'll pass through the project account.
You guys have the key. Okay.
Thank you. What are you going to do with the one we bought here a year or so ago?
They'll be kept in service. Yeah. Okay. There's enough demand. And these machines, we probably put on less than 100 hours a year combined with all the counties. So that machine will be in use. It had very low hours when we bought it.
The old machine has a design deficiency. It when the batteries heat up or the it tends to... It needs to cool down, so about 40 minutes you have to shut it down, let it cool before you continue to move. So this one, I think they got that correct.
Yeah, it's a different design
right. In
the braking system.
Any other questions or comments? Yes, yeah. Dr. Patrick.
I'm a little confused by the memo. So you got a grant. Are we just putting up the money and then we're going to be reimbursed when the grant comes through?
The grant's already been awarded, that's correct. So also for insurance purposes. As well, so the insurance it's insured, but the first machine is insured by the Pappy, Missouri NRD and the counties, as well as the secondary insured, since the counties are using this machine. So for insurance purposes, it's also being purchased.
So the grant is really there. It will be reimbursed immediately.
Immediately.
But it has to go through somebody, and it's kind of the lead agency on this lower platform. Weed management authority, those who are.
It's more of a process thing than a
right
thing. And then just a question about how long does it take when you start tearing down these bushes to get that panel open? And then what's the annual maintenance thereafter? I mean, is this something you have to do?
The annual maintenance will be there. The noxious weed maintenance on the Phragmites, which is part of the annual Phragmites project.
But the bushes won't go back?
This is really a trial on the indigo bush, and so I would estimate there's going to be at least, you know, maybe 10% of indigo bush remaining that the Lower Platte will apply for a follow-up grant to take care of that remaining 10% next year, and hopefully that'll, you know, assist that back channel to become a more of a natural back channel.
I was going to recall what time frame we've asked that they do this work in.
After January 15th.
And how long did we give them, a month or however long?
It needs to be done between, the 15th of January and then springtime. It obviously needs to be used up by June 30th, but you come into other issues as well. It's the warmer months and that water table rises up in spring flow. So the target window is now through early spring.
I'd like to go back to the comments you made about insurance. I just saw the invoice for insurance. Was this AGCO, if I pronounced that, Argo machine on this insurance renewal? Are we insuring it?
It's not on the current one. It will be placed
on. We're adding a bunch of new vehicles currently, and is this will be another addition then?
Yes.
Okay.
Every county as a secondary insured is required to submit a certificate of insurance to CAPIO also as part of our agreement with the Lower Platte on our project to use this Argo machine also.
So everybody's carrying insurance for their own people.
Other questions or comments? Mm-hmm. Seeing none, roll call, please.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Thompson? Yes.
Richard?
Aye.
Lady?
Yes.
I think everybody's
on board with it. Yes. Thank you. The next item will be item 7, review and recommendation on naming of dam site 15A. That'll be named after me, I believe. Dr. Susan LaFish Picotti. Director Jim Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Generally speaking about naming dams that we build, this one, the naming rights are held to the city. That's the city of Omaha, because that's who we're turning it over to. The newcomers here in the past, when we build these reservoirs, some we've retained naming rights, some we've passed on to ultimately who's going to get it. For example, Walnut Creek Lake was one that we named. I don't know how Zerinsky got named or where Span. I think that was way before my time.
Those are core projects.
Actually, those have to be done by an active contract.
Those two? Okay, because they were a core project. Standing Bear as well,
right.
I assume. Youngman Lake out there, 192nd, and Dodge, that was one that we named. So anyways, 15A comes up, and sure enough, we're going to let this city name it. And when we talk about names, Cramper Lake's another good example up there that we named up in Dakota County, which is well-deserved for Vince Cramper and so on. It's on my mind because I've been on the board for a long time, I guess, and these things are permanent, and for the most part they are, I guess. We don't change it. And in the back of my mind, I thought, well, what's this going to be named? You know, we do all this work, staff, we spend all this money, thank you, taxpayers, and so on, and then this structure gets built. So it's been on the back of my mind. A few weeks ago in the World Herald, there's a write-up by Matthew Hansen about this book called A Warrior of the People. Joe Sterita wrote it, and I thought, oh, who's this Susan LaFlesh Picot? And I had to find out what the exact pronunciation is from talking to Mr. Sterita, but it's Picot. It's a French name. And I did some, you know, computer searching, Google, good old Google, and found out, wow, this lady... back in 1889, got her medical degree. 1889 got her degree. That's before women could vote. And she went out east and got her medical degree and became a doctor. Gave up the East Coast, came back to Nebraska, the Omaha tribe, and practiced her medicine for the Native Americans in the Omaha tribe and others as well. There's a memo attached called From Ancestors of Science, Susan LaFlesh Picot. I got to correct myself all the time. It highlights what she did on the Omaha Reservation. I'm not going to read it. I hope you all had a chance to read it. The more and more I dug into it, and Walt Hill, we have, that's within our district as well. There's a little... building on the National Register of Historic Places is named after her. And I found out there's an elementary school on 144th and out west somewhere.
Blondo
area, yeah. Maple area, Picot Elementary. Well, that's cool. I don't have kids in elementary school. Someday I'll have a grandkid there. But those sorts of things, it elevates a little bit to who this person was. But I kind of had to search for that. Well, this is the way I came up with to recommend to the city council that that we name this dam site 15A after this. I did silence my phone, but if that's...
It's a $5 fine.
Well,
it's a $5 fine.
$5.
Anyways, I thought we got to let city council know how we feel. And since they have the naming rights, there's an option to amend the agreement. That's probably more cumbersome than we want to go. and what we do in the future, I think we just need to discuss that. Sometimes it's easy to name something, sometimes it's not. But anyways, my recommendation is we do recommend that this be named after this this wonderful lady. I've been telling people before the meeting here that she was the first Native American female doctor in Nebraska, and I have to stand corrected, in the United States. The first female Native American doctor in the United States. And here we have this treasure on the back of this book. One of the appraised for the book says that our citizens will remember her the way we remember Eleanor Roosevelt, Helen Keller, Mother Jones, Rosa Parks. And thank you for introducing us to our new hero, Susan LaFlesh Picot. So I haven't finished reading the book yet. I just got it. Certainly, I could offer more if there's any other questions, but I would encourage we support this recommendation to forward to the city. And when I mentioned this to Joe Starita, who's down in Lincoln at the journalism school, he said, how can anyone not appreciate this? And so I'm asking our board for full support on that. So with that, I'll make the recommendation on the resolution there.
Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Anyone in the public wish to speak? Seeing none, directors? Go ahead, Patrick.
From my understanding, like the recreation aspect of this dam site isn't complete yet, the master plan, like there's some things in place. But if the city council does move forward to name it after this lady, I think it would be appropriate to go to the Omaha tribe. And much like we have that overlook site on the Missouri River mm-hmm. that has incorporated aspects of like Native American culture and history, that maybe stuff like that can be incorporated into this dam site to create sort of a theme to go along with it, whether, you know, I mean, let your imagination run wild, but I think it'd be great for staff to reach out to the Omaha tribe and ask what thoughts that they may have with that.
Thank you, Pat. Any other comments? Dr. Keys?
Am I correct, Ron, you say that there's already a park named after out by the school?
There is a city park, city park from the school. Named Park.
I just wondered if that would cause some confusion.
Well, I think there might be a concern about it. We already have one park.
I'm going to take one next. Has anyone gone to the city and asked them what they think of this before we go through sending them a formal request to do the naming?
I can probably answer that. I ran into Brooke Bench over the weekend, and I said, this is what we're planning on doing. And he says, well, we talked about it, naming it 15A, but we haven't come up with anything, so he'll talk to the mayor. Okay, good. So stay tuned. So Thursday, hopefully, we'll get to it.
Okay. Patrick?
Yeah, I was just going to, there is a park, and it's pretty close by. So, I mean, that is an issue. So, I mean, maybe something instead of sending a resolution, maybe just, I don't know if we can direct staff to have that conversation and then maybe bring back naming rights to the NRD. Because maybe the city doesn't even want to name it. Because when you name a park or a street or a dam site after one person, there's 20, 25 other people who you didn't name it after, whose family and everything else is upset. So, just a thought and for, but now that I know there's a park there, I mean, that does sort of throw up a couple question marks on this.
The process would be if the board adopted, we would simply forward this to the city of Omaha as a request from the district. A recommendation is a formal action by the board to make that request. So really, it doesn't mean anything to me if I sent the mayor a letter and say, would you name this park? That means nothing to them. I represent the board as a whole. And if you were to request them to do that, it has to come from you. And a resolution is not binding on anybody. It simply just says, this is what we are recommending to the city council, if in fact you choose to do that. If they don't, it goes away and no one's harmed in any way.
I just Googled in and got the park on 51st and Locust. Which has got housing on Binney, Corby Street, Locust to the east, and North 151st on the west. Looks like a nice clean park. public access behind these houses. I don't know. It looks like it's reserved for this fancy subdivision. But the other thing I wanted to mention, too, is Standing Bear, you know, in North Omaha, is here, and Dam Site 15A is kind of a, call it a bookend, if we are successful in this endeavor, of Standing Bear and Peacock Lake. And to me, that addresses, especially since Omaha is named after the Omaha tribe, certainly a bigger recognition for this lady and what she's done.
Other questions or comments? Hearing none, roll call on the motion.
Thompson?
Yes.
Bridgman?
Aye.
Lee?
Yes.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, well, this will be on the agenda then Thursday night. That concludes this agenda. We are adjourned.
Mr. Teaser, you want the gavel or are you all right?
Call the FDL subcommittee meeting to order. Notification of the Open Meeting Act, as was stated earlier, is posted outside on the back wall. And as normal, I will impose a 3-minute speaking limit from comments of the general public with that phone call.
Kirk Conley.
Well, here.
Don Conley.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
And Director or Chairperson.
Yes, here. Adoption agenda?
So moved.
Roll call.
John Conley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Thompson?
Yes.
Yes. I have before me proof of publication of the meeting. Item number 6, review the recommendation of Papio Creek Watershed W3 right-of-way Camden Family Trust versus Papio NRD. Do we need to go into executive? We give a motion, please, to go into executive.
Motion to go into executive session for real estate considerations.
Discuss strategy for ongoing.
Discuss strategy for ongoing litigation.
Is
second.
That what I said?
Yeah, you did.
I second.
Is there a second?
I second.
Okay, roll call.
Thompson?
Yes.
Don Conley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, we will in the audience, we will ask you now to depart, and you can come back after we get done.
I can do normal session.
Let's go back. Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Hey, Counselor, I'm going to have you read the motion. Take part.
John Conley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
Third person?
Yes. Counselor, do you want to read the motion, please?
Do we vote on it?
Yeah. The committee does.
Okay. All right. It's recommended by management and legal counsel to authorize general manager to enter into a settlement agreement for the Camden Family Trust versus Papio Missouri River NRD settlement lawsuit.
Okay, you want the actual wording?
My concern is that that memo is confidential.
Yeah.
Okay.
Until Thursday.
Until
very good.
I'll second the motion.
Okay.
Well,
further comments?
I'll move it.
I'll second the movement.
Ready? Roll call.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Yes. Motion passes. That concludes our agenda.